broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for November the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. All right, let's talk about important news first, shall we? Too much caffeine, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. You know, these guys just go back and forth on this issue forever, but they say that it might not be good for you. But on the other hand, they say, well, you know, probably need more studying. But that's how science always does. You know, it was just interesting to me to see it's once again in the news. Too much caffeine may stress the heart, they say. And then they say in moderate doses, caffeine has mainly positive effects for most people, but it increases production of cortisol, which can lead to health problems, including anxiety, weight gain, and heart disease. Well, anyway, there's your health tip for the day from the guys at Personal Health, I guess.
I don't see any tips there. I just see a conflicting study. But do you have a tip, Kurt?
Too much, they didn't give any tips. Too much may stress, and then they say it. You know, moderate doses has mainly positive effects, you know. So, you know, they're kind of on both sides of the
But they're not giving me any tips, are they, Kurt? I don't see a tip.
Well, not that I can see, Sam, but, you know, it just gives them something to write about. And then
get money for studies regarding.
Yeah, good point.
But, Kurt, you do have a tip on this, don't you, Kurt?
Well, I have a tip, and that is just simply, you know, it seems like if you just focus on all the good things that you can use, that you know are okay to do, you might, you know, avoid the problems with caffeine that way.
All right. So Kurt has a tip. Avoid caffeine, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Yeah. Use other good things, you know, like good food, good rest, good exercise, you know. All those good things.
I hear you. Now, exercise stresses the heart, too, though, now, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right. Different kind of stress on the heart, though, right?
Well, I'm against the kind that, you know, you do so much of that, you know, you pass out and die. That's
And that would be exercise, too.
Yeah.
Or drinking so much water that you die. It would be bad.
That's right, yeah.
You know, moderation in things, but it is wise to avoid the things that we know provide no harm. That are addictive in quality or nature and all that. That's good advice, Kurt.
Yeah, they say like caffeine is by far America's leading non-prescription drug, regularly consumed by some 90 million adults each day, and coffee, tea, soft and energy drinks, and some prescription and over-the-counter medications.
You know what I find fascinating about this? They call caffeine a drug, though, Kurt. Doesn't caffeine occur naturally?
Well, I think most drugs occur naturally as well, you know, like cocaine and marijuana and whatever, you know, at least. They say amounts can
what
range
widely.
What makes
it a drug is kind of why I bring it up. How do you turn something into a drug, you know?
It all depends on your definition.
You control it,
things,
you manipulate it, you regulate it, you whatever.
Yeah, they say an 8-ounce cup of brewed coffee may contain 95 to 165 milligrams of caffeine, while a cup of instant coffee delivers 63 milligrams, 1 ounce of espresso has 47 to 64 milligrams. 8 ounces of brewed black tea, 25 to 48 milligrams. Keep track of all these numbers. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen. They say, whereas a 12-ounce energy drink can contain as much as 300 milligrams, much smaller amounts of caffeine can be found in chocolate, decaffeinated coffee, some candies, and even some foods like waffles. Whoa, I didn't know.
Nothing like squirrel waffles, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't know, you know, you could add caffeine to your waffle.
Hey, Alan Phillips is with us, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. So they say too much caffeine, Alan, may stress the heart, but in moderate doses, mainly positive effects for most people. But the thing is, it can increase cortisol, and that isn't good because it can stress your heart and do all these things. So Kurt wants you to know that you should drink less or no caffeine, sir.
Okay, I do drink coffee, but not daily. I have been through times when I did that. I don't think it works well for me. You know, it's sort of interesting. A lot of people drink coffee when they want to, you know, they're tired and they want to kind of have that energy boost or whatever. I find that I enjoy and do better with coffee when I'm well rested. I don't, when I'm kind of tired and stressed out, I feel like it, and maybe that's that edge it sounds like you're talking about there, that sort of stresses me more. I don't know if that sounds contradictory or not, or hypocritical. No, hypocritical is not the word there. Just kind of contradictory or whatever, but I do it in moderation. I don't drink every day, for sure.
All right.
Sometimes.
So he knows when to say when it comes to his coffee drinking, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Also, New York City's in the news, Kurt. Something about their cracking down, huh?
New York City. Let's see. Which one was that? Just trying to remember.
I guess they got
New York City.
Raids,
oh, they raided. Yeah. Yeah. And this made me think of our frequent guest from New York. You know, the headline reads, New York City raids condo building and crackdown on Airbnb rentals. Subheadline, in one of the largest actions against short-term rentals, city issues violations to apartment owners in a midtown luxury building. Yeah, well, you think you own your apartment. You think you can do whatever you want with it. You find that to be different.
Oh, yeah, it's like fascist, you know. It's owned by the people. They think they own it, but it's all controlled by regulation. It's out of control. I'm glad I don't live in New York City, I'll tell you that. And they raided the condo building, too, man. I wonder if those guys had flashbang and the whole bit, or what do you think? Was it crazy over there?
You know, or was it one of those swarmed peaceful by raids? Bureaucrats, you know. I mean,
was it a peaceful raid, really?
Well, I don't.
Because whenever I think of the word
shot
raid, I just don't think
it,
peaceful.
You know? Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
I kind of think. Oh, Fox News boycotting Twitter, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's what they say. They say they haven't tweeted for a number of days. They didn't like what Twitter's response to some of the, basically they said the headline. Fox News boycotts Twitter for Tucker Carlson mob response. And I guess you had this group, what would they call themselves? Something like racism, you know, Stop Racism Now or something like that. They say the far left weirdos, one guy said, why didn't the far left weirdos just go on Tucker's show rather than target his home? And I think that was part of it, where Twitter let the guys keep their Twitter feed up, you know, instead of taking it down. And Fox News decided to, you know, quit tweeting as a response. And I don't know if they've opened it back up yet, but that's what they...
Who knows, but I have a problem with this. I don't know that these lefties could get on Tucker Carlson's show, Kurt. Look, I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host. I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility. I wrote it 2 years ago, so I was first to this party about, hey, we're going too violent and too hostile and too divisionary. We need to kind of settle back and work together and be patient. And the genius of America is our different ideas. It's okay that we differ. So I wrote A Clarion Call for Civility and took personal responsibility to try to be kinder and more gentler and make a difference and stuff like that. And I republished that article, sent it to Fox News, sent it to the Daily Caller, which is the news organization that Tucker Carlson owns, and they simply said, we're not interested in printing it at all. It was too first person, and too many other people are writing in, Sam, you're not important. And I guess I don't really understand if I'm in the media and I'm trying to help say the media needs to work on kind of making a difference and providing leadership here. I don't know how I make it not first person. But they simply rejected my article, and I mean, how do I get on Tucker Carlson, Kurt? You want to see if I can get on there? But all I'm telling you is I don't know how many of these liberals are going to be allowed on there, are they, Kurt?
Well, I agree, Sam.
Or maybe they just won't let a guy that agrees with them on there, but they'll let the disagreement guys on there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they quit tweeting new content to their 18.2 million followers since November 8th.
That makes sense. Just shut down a communication with your you know, listeners and viewers and followers. Just sever that connection. Yeah. That ought to help you.
To show Twitter, I guess.
You know, well, what's Twitter going to do then? Just pick enemies and friends and foes? And, you know, how long will it be if you want to shut down the other guy? Will it be? Now, I'm against the violence, 100%, but I'm not for shutting down people's accounts because you politically disagree with them. Alan Phillips, did you ever read my article called A Clarion Call for Civility?
I'm not sure, but I do recall discussing it in somewhere in the not-too-distant past.
All right, I'll send it to you so you can read it. Maybe you can read it on one of the commercial breaks, but it's amazing to me that when Tucker Carlson's house literally gets surrounded and they destroy property and these people are violent and everything else, and then they issue this clarion call via the Fox News president and the CEO, so two top leaders there say the media's got to take leadership in solving this. We got to step back and be kind and gentle and have civility. We can agree to disagree in America and be kind in doing it. And then I send them an article to try to help promote that agenda, and they simply won't even consider publishing it. Alan Phillips with us in seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
Just spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Alan Phillips, well-known vaccine rights attorney on your radio. And again, he's not saying that you got to believe in vaccinations. He's just saying that we want people to have choice. We want transparency. We want people to be able to work together and make their own decisions regarding vaccinations. Anyway, he's being attacked big time We'll get into that, and that's kind of why I headlined this Clarion Call for Civility article that I wrote, not because I really want to promote my writing as much as, look, how genuine are these people? Okay. When Fox News boycotts Twitter for Tucker Carlson mob response, why didn't the far left just go on the talk show of Tucker Carlson? And it's a fair question. But it's even a, I don't know what you call it, even a more fair question to say, why won't they publish Sam Bushman's article? What in it would they disagree with? Is it because I mentioned God? They say that it's because I wrote it in first person. I don't know what person I'm supposed to write it in. Okay, when they say that the media needs to provide leadership to kind of stop this vitriol and anger and hatred, in other words, the media needs to lead the path towards civility, I would say that a talk show host writing it in first person provides probably the best leadership you can ask for. Alan, what do you say? I don't understand why they won't publish it.
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, look, is it not well written enough? You can be candid. Just say, Sam, it sucks. You're not a good writer, buddy.
Sam, one of the reasons I keep coming back, in addition to that you keep inviting and allowing me to do so, is because I am just and have always been very impressed with your ability to articulate and formulate ideas and the manner in not only the content substantively, but your delivery as well here. And I love the finish on this letter from the Friends of Voltaire. I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Sam, I always find myself when we have discussions about what's going on and how far that strays from what reason and common sense would tell us should be going on, and this issue of civility, quite a case in point, is that while there certainly are people who can be manipulated or moved to behave in inappropriate ways and lack of civility, but I believe that a lot of what goes on here is not grassroots spontaneous action, but rather people who are deliberately behaving or perhaps being financed to deliberately behave in ways that are inappropriate, but for a very particular purpose, and ultimately it boils down to manipulating public perception.
And my problem with that is I get that's happening, but I also get that the press should unite and double down and say we reject violence and the destruction of property on every side, shouldn't we?
We certainly should, but the press is part of that system of manipulation to one degree or another, and even a lot of the alternative press, I'm sure, is controlled to one degree or another. It's really difficult to find sort of pure, clean information and news in today's world, and it's certainly out there, and there certainly is room, as there always has been and should be, room for and the existence of different views and opinions and so forth. But, you know, this call for civility is so basic and fundamental to the smooth functioning of a democracy, or in our case, democratic republic. It's just mind-boggling to me that there's not a public outcry against this. I had an interesting this version of this discussion with my teenage son, who was talking about how some of his friends appear to have bought into not the violence in the sense that you're talking about in physical, but the sort of overly aggressive rhetoric and language and attacking and the lashing out without looking calmly at the evidence, forming an opinion, and then whatever that opinion is, just stating it. And my son was just perplexed seeing that some of his own friends were, I want to say, buying into this kind of mentality and behavior, but it's not because they're unintelligent kids or adults, and when this goes on in the real world, it's we're subject to manipulation. Human beings are easily manipulated if you understand the psychology and if you have the delivery tools for the techniques, for the information or the actions or what have you. Basically, if you can finance it and you understand psychology, you can manipulate, and in some cases to a very high degree, control societies, entire societies, or perceptions within entire societies. So it's, I think it's, there's a lot of manipulation going on here. There's a lot at stake. If Trump is successful and his agenda ultimately prevails, as I optimistically interpret it anyway, it's going to result in the exposure of a lot of massive corruption throughout government, despite there being good people, I think, throughout government as well, but all levels of government. And these people are engaged in, you know, some long-term massive criminal behavior that's had some horrible, negative, and ultimately avoidable impact on people's lives in the country and around the world. They don't want to be called out on that for obvious reasons, and they'll go to extremes to prevent it. So one of the techniques is you hire people to be overly aggressive. And what's interesting, Sam, I'm not a psychologist, but I think this is part of what goes on. If you're sitting on the sidelines and you're watching an exchange between people and one person aggressively attacks the other, which is more comfortable to identify with, the person being attacked or the person doing the attacking? And I would say, as just a general proposition, it's really uncomfortable to be the person being attacked. And so there's a tendency for at least some people, I would propose, let's say, to identify with the attacker, because that's the position of control of
I think you're right on that, but what I try to do is say I'm not picking sides. I'm going to find out what's right and what's wrong based on principle, and I'm going to stand for the right every time, popular or not, don't care. But see, maybe I'm just psychotic. Maybe I'm just not very intelligent. Maybe I don't get it.
Well, no, Sam. I think you're right on the money there. You have to, first of all, defend yourself psychologically from being sucked into whatever manipulative techniques are being put forth, and just stay the course, remain calm, remain steady, say, I'm not going to buy into that. That's just... that's inappropriate. Lack of civility is not appropriate in our society. It's not constructive. So let's just keep focusing on that. And when I, for example, I post something, and I don't do this a lot, but I used to more so in the past on the vaccine issue, I post something, and then people who reach out with information that is challenging to the status quo will often get attacked as a response. And there's a lot of ways that people respond to being attacked. But, Sam, what I do when I'm in that situation, and let's say I'm posting on Facebook or social media somewhere, I don't get caught into the fight and end up, you know, bickering back and forth. What I do is say, look, everybody, here's a classic example of somebody trying to manipulate you, the reader, emotionally, because instead of responding substantively, if I post some studies, all right, if you disagree with my studies, show me your studies. You know, instead of responding to my studies, they have attacked me at me. Look, everybody, here's an example of an attempt to control you and manipulate you and bypass the facts, bypass the information that really matters. So I think part of what we can do is to try to call this out for what it is, call attention to it, educate people to the fact that they are being manipulated so that they can hopefully avoid being sucked in to that game and instead let it fall on its face. I mean, we are where we are in today's world, Sam, because the people who got us here are masters of the psychology, and they control the flow of information and other things that enable them to manipulate public perception. And if we begin to recognize those techniques for what they are, then they will be impotent.
Well, all I know is this. I'm not even attacking Fox News for not being willing to publish my article. If they really believe they have better content that can make the point better than I can, by all means, more power to them. What baffles me, though, is they say they don't like that it's written in first person. And I guess I don't know how you write a letter to the editor or an op-ed piece without it being first person, especially when we're trying to get the media to provide leadership here. Second thing I don't understand is, do they really have that many people that are talk show hosts or that many people in the media writing into them? If they do, I sure don't see all the articles coming out. So I don't really understand it. And it's not that I want to attack them, but it's that I'm thinking, how do we work together? What can I do to put forth an olive branch to work together with these people? If even our own side, if you will, the conservatives can't work together, can't cooperate. How do we move the needle on this? And are their efforts really genuine? It makes me wonder. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Yeah, buddy, Liberty Roundtable Live. There ain't no talk show on the planet like it. Is that correct, English? All right. When I was a kid, they said, don't saint because your mother will faint and your father will fall into a can of paint. But now ain't a word in the dictionary. Man, times are changing, I'll tell you what. And times are changing against those who believe in peaceful, kind responses. Those who believe in differences of opinion are good for America. I sadly hate to tell you this. It seems like those days are long gone. I pray it isn't true. Predict it is, though. All right, so a quick story relating to issues that kind of talk about vaccines in a way, Kurt.
Yeah, it says headline, WHO, that's W-H-O, no, it's not the rock group, it's the World Health Organization, maps dangerous misuse of antibiotics. Yeah, so they're saying that it's not all, what, wonderful in the antibiotic world.
I don't know what to think about this. I agree. But if they're going to admit the truth about dangerous antibiotics, I thought we were told they were safe and effective and safe and effective. And by golly, how dare you question the use and then the overuse of antibiotics. But if we're going to do that about antibiotics, do you think we can do that about vaccines there, Alan? for the truth and transparency on both, sir.
On anything and everything.
You, Roger that. Yes, sir.
I suppose there could be, you know, I try not to you know, absolutely nothing is absolute, as the saying goes, you know, but, you know, always try to allow for, you know, exceptions. But, well, of course, Sam, and it's sort of interesting. I work, as you know, in many different arenas in terms of categories, and working with people around the country with exemptions, school, college, employment, immigration, military, and so forth. And a lot of the healthcare workers that I work with, mostly nurses, but really a broad spectrum, where they're trying, for example, to avoid flu shots at work, a lot of them will go out and do their research, and they'll take the research to administrators and say, look, here's what the studies say, here's the government statistics, and so forth. The flu shots don't work, and but they can injure and kill you, and they reasonably, but ultimately, and I mean this in no way as a put-down to the healthcare professionals, but ultimately, naively, assume that once they educate the administrators, they'll say, oh my gosh, this whole flu vaccine policy is misguided. You know, we better withdraw it and just, you know, let people decide on their own if they want to get one. We'll recommend it, but won't require it as a condition of employment, which is happening more and more in hospitals around the country. And it falls on deaf ears. Well, why? Well, because what's driving this is not really a health agenda. Now, I see multiple layers, and we've talked about these in the past, Sam, but you don't have to go past the money layer to see, you know, a motivation on that level, which has gone, pushed the vaccine agenda well beyond any net benefit or gain. And it's no more obvious, I think, anywhere than with flu shots. Because even the best studies say the flu shot is only somewhere around 60% effective, and those studies have been shown to have manipulated numbers to get that high of a number. And I saw an article recently, they're estimating that this year's flu shot is going to be about 19% effective. We're not going to get transparency. I'm trying to bring this around full circle, Sam. I don't think we're going to get transparency until we can all get on the same page about what the goal behind all of this is. And there's a false pretense of health, of course. Get your flu shot and protect yourself and everybody else. But that's not what happens with flu shots. And so, and the people on the front lines promoting it probably just doing their job, believe what they're told, probably all, you know, good people, but somewhere back up the chain of command is somebody who knows exactly what they're doing, which is, among other things, they're not preventing the spread of influenza with flu shots, but they are introducing widespread chronic illnesses that each person who gets one of those from a vaccine is a potential lifelong customer for other pharmaceutical products. So even just on the money level, what's going on here is really insidious, unless you happen to have stock in pharmaceutical companies and are a sociopath or psychopath and don't mind profiting from other people's loss of life or chronic illness, unavoidable loss of life and chronic illnesses. So yes, of course we should be civil. Yes, of course we should have transparency. Yes, of course we should behave maturely and appropriately and honor the vast richness of the diversity of opinions and points of view. But when somebody wants to manipulate and control all of that, then suddenly the surface appearance is not consistent with what ultimately for some of us turns out to be a false pretense of or veneer of agenda. There are other agendas driving this, and that's why it doesn't look the way we think it should.
What do you say to this, Kurt? It's hard for me to even respond to this stuff, because the truth shall make you free. Transparency should be the order of the day, but for some strange reason, we get these weird, and part of it might be driven by the first layer, as Alan wisely calls it, money. But I think there's more issues that relate to this than money.
Well, it would be so refreshing if we could simply say, look, no matter where the, you know, what the truth is, let's examine it and go forward with the facts. But the problem is, as I see it, there are certain things that are allowed to be, I guess you could say, submitted to the audience or to the judge or to the jury, and other things that are like, that's off balance or off the limits. The judge says, no, you can't submit that information. And, you know, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Alan?
Well, I agree. Things that are off limits that just don't seem reasonable. But, you know, I go a step further and say, well, why are they off limits? And the answer that I come up with is because it doesn't fit the underlying agenda that is not exposed, or not, you know, that not the surface veneer that we're spoon-fed. Here's what this is about. You know, the vaccines are such a great example of this, Sam, because all the information you need to see serious, serious problems comes right out of mainstream sources. You don't have to even get into the so-called conspiracy theories, although that's not a negative phrase to me. A conspiracy theory is exactly that, a theory that has whatever evidence, direct or indirect, that it has supporting it, and conspiracy, two or more people, you know, but involved. But you don't have to go there with the vaccine issue. You can go look at the studies. You can look at, even the CDC openly admits, well, this year it was 23% effective or whatever the numbers are, but they've been very low numbers in recent years. Well, a little protection is better than none, so get your flu shot anyway. Well, wait a minute. The federal government paid out about $150 million last year because of people injured and killed by flu shots, and you can go look that up on the government website. Again, not a conspiracy theory here. Not something you hear on the 6 o'clock news, and so it's not widely known, I suppose. And the reason for that, I would submit, is that the pharmaceutical industry in recent years and currently is the largest advertiser in mainstream media. So the media, which pretends to be neutral and unbiased, by definition, there is, on that particular point, and perhaps many others we could name as well, but absolutely biased, and necessarily so, to the extent that they feel constrained by not wanting to bite the hand that feeds them, so to speak, by putting out something negative about the pharmaceutical industry and risk some financial repercussion.
All right. It's hard for me to know where to go with these kinds of conversations, because I look at it and I say, man, we've got to do something. Now, here's the next stage. And this is why I focused so much on this civility issue. What happens when society gets so uncivil that people literally surround someone's house, destroy private property? They literally attack someone in a restaurant and force them to leave for their safety. They literally get so violent that the law, the rule of law, is violated and there's no accountability for it. And now, we've worked on this Innocence in Prison project for quite some time, and now we got former Congressman Steve Stockman in prison because he dared to take on Lois Lerner at the IRS. Okay, but now you got Alan Phillips, who's just trying to basically defend people's rights to choose or to not choose vaccinations and to understand the law regarding vaccinations, to be informed and make their own decisions regarding vaccinations. And now the discussion has gone way beyond his attorney status, his ability to educate, articulate, and guide people in how they can obey the law, but yet make wise choices. We're way beyond that. And they've literally taken off the gloves on Alan Phillips, our current guest. We'll get an update in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online.
or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
So they're taking off the gloves, ladies and gentlemen. They're not willing to play in the polite field of a difference of opinion. They're willing to take off the gloves and go after folks that are, well, doing a great job at maybe articulating the problems that we're facing and transparency dealing with issues, letting people make up their own minds. Whereas the free choice zealots, when it comes to choosing not to take vaccinations or choosing to keep your baby, where are these folks? I don't know. Nevertheless, I bring this all up because they're ratcheting it up big time. They're no longer satisfied with saying we disagree with Alan Phillips. They're now taking off the gloves and they're trying to, what, make this criminal?
Well, trying to take my license, long story short, and on charges or claims that I'm practicing law without a license in other states because I do work proudly and legally with clients and attorneys and legislators and activists all over the country. And the lines are real simple, Sam. Attorneys are all licensed in one or more states or territories. There's no such thing as a federal law license. All attorneys can practice federal law. So I can advise clients anywhere on the planet about federal law in the U.S. With my North Carolina license. But what I can't do is advise somebody in Virginia or Utah about their state laws, and I don't do that. And when state law issues come up, I tell people, I can't advise you about that, but if it's something that they need help with, well, get a local attorney involved. And as long as there's someone with a local license on the phone or in the email exchange or involved, then I can work with and through the local attorney. And I'm literally the only attorney in the country who does what I do. So there just aren't local attorneys that people can turn to for a lot of the different exemption issues that come up.
And by the way, I'm afraid that's the way they want it.
Well, it's sort of interesting because, you know, like everything else, society shifts and changes and evolves in different ways. And one of the evolutions going on in the legal profession, given the technological revolution and evolution of recent years and decades, is that it's much easier, of course, now for attorneys to reach out all over the country and beyond their local neighborhood with internet websites and social media and so forth. And so there has been some, you know, legitimate questions about maybe we need to relax some of these rules that where different state bars have been really possessive or territorial, protective of their own attorneys. We don't want outside attorneys coming in and serving our residents. We want our own attorneys to do that, and that makes sense from a business perspective. But it's just real easy and real common. And in my situation in particular, it's a unique practice area. You know, I'm one of a kind with what I do, at least at the level that I do it and the extent that I do it. And I work with local attorneys around the country on a regular basis. That's a regular part of my practice, Sam. So, but it's interesting. I think we're going to see in years to come that it'll become, the lines there will kind of relax more. It'll be easier for attorneys to cross state lines and advise people in other states about their state law, because you can look it up in another state just as easily as you can your own state. That's different from me driving across state lines and showing up in a court in another state. That is not something I think we should be able to do. But as far as just telling somebody about how the law works, which you can go look up many times, I don't know that it really should matter what state you're licensed in. And I'm sure there are some counter arguments there, but I think we're going to see some loosening of the lines. But the bottom line is, I haven't crossed any lines. They don't, and this is the weird part, Sam, they're not accusing me of having done anything specific wrong.
See, and let me stop you there, though. That's how I don't understand how they can continue to, and I don't know if this is the right term, but I'm going to use it anyway. How can they continue to hold court on this when there's nothing here?
Well, they started an investigation, quote-unquote investigation, and the law in North Carolina says you have to have an allegation of misconduct. They have to accuse me of doing something wrong. And what they're saying is, it's circular reasoning, and it's really comical in one sense, if it wasn't at the same time so serious and, frankly, quite stressful for me to deal with. But they're basically saying, because I'm practicing law without a license in states around the country, they want me to hand over hundreds of my client files, private, confidential attorney-client files, so they can dig through those files to see if I'm doing something wrong.
But wait a minute. What about privacy, though? If I'm in Utah and you worked with me and there's a client-attorney privilege here in my files, where do they get the authority to go across state lines if they're claiming you can't do that? But where are they getting this idea that they can just simply subpoena or get my file from you or force that? What about my privacy? What about me?
Well, there's two things there. First of all, I have the files right here in North Carolina, you know, on my computer. Most of it's computerized and so forth. So it's people from around the country, but it because I have clients all over the country, and frankly, a little occasionally around the world when they're dealing with immigration, immigrating into the U.S. and required to get vaccines by the Immigration Service to do that. So, you know, the files, though, are here in North Carolina in that sense. But you're right, this is a huge privacy issue, because they're not even asking my clients if it's okay, you know. And, Sam, there's a group of around 270 of my past clients who have come together as a group, and they are looking for representation to intervene in the lawsuit. And what that means is they would become a party in the lawsuit. And
they would say, we want our files to remain private, and we want to exercise our client attorney privilege, right?
Exactly. They're not going to roll over. And, of course, my clients, you know, people don't end up being a client of mine on an issue as controversial as vaccines without understanding that corruption goes on in the world. And these people are not going to compromise. You know, the sort of, if it gets into court on the merits, and there are procedural issues here that should, in my opinion, prevent that from even happening. But the likely outcome, if that's what how it ultimately plays out, is the judge is going to say, well, just redact the names, and then nobody's, you know, personal identity is revealed, and everything will be okay, and then hand over all the files. Well, my clients are, so far anyway, have indicated that they're not going to compromise. They understand that what's really going on underneath all of this is corruption in the North Carolina State Bar, and they're not going to engage in that level. That would be enabling the underlying dysfunction. There's not even the required allegation of misconduct to do an investigation in the first place. So if that is properly addressed, if the court and that has yet to be brought to the court's attention, but at some point it will. And if the court acknowledges that the way that I think it has to, according to the law and the facts, the judge would have to say, well, this case is a non-starter, dismiss it. But, Sam, it's really hard to find attorneys who are willing to go up against the bar. I had to fire my attorney recently because he refused to address the fact that there's this glaring conflict of interest. I have filed complaints against the bar attorneys, which I'm required to do by North Carolina law and rules, because they engaged in some horrible misconduct, inventing facts and law. And they are suppressing that complaint. They are not, of course, they can't investigate themselves. That's a conflict of interest right there. But that's exactly what they're doing. And there are other people who have filed complaints, and they're suppressing all these complaints against themselves, which they can't legally do, but that's what they're doing so far. And so they can't prosecute a case against me when I have a complaint against them that's unresolved. Now, the conflict of interest itself only means that they'd have to get outside counsel. They got to go get an attorney outside of the state bar to represent them. But this issue of they're not even accusing me of doing anything wrong. They're saying, you're doing something wrong, so we want to look through your client files to see if you're doing something wrong. I mean, that's almost literally what they're saying, Sam, and it is just as ridiculous as it sounds. Apparently, though, they think they can get away with this. And, Sam, I've done a little of my own investigating, just preliminary investigation, but I've already found about 8 or 9 other attorneys who have similar experiences to report that what I've seen with myself. I have proof that they made up facts and law in my case, but other people have said, yeah, they did that to me too, Alan. People have been disbarred, Sam, claiming that it was on invented facts. And I've actually talked to attorneys who represent attorneys, okay? So this is what they do for a living, and they've said very quietly, yeah, Alan, I'm paraphrasing, but the message was, yes, they invent facts.
And are they willing to stand up with you?
No, they won't even touch. They represent attorneys for a living, but they won't touch my case because they don't want to lose their license. And this is the problem. You can find people who are, you know, gung-ho about calling out corruption and willing to take on and challenge the bad guys. But as soon as you mention the state bar, no. And there have been a couple of attorneys who said to the client group, yes, we'd be glad to represent you. And then they come back later and say, our firm won't let me represent you. Nobody's willing to challenge the bar because they're putting their own career at risk if they do that. Now, to say that your career is at risk because you're trying to do the right thing is absurd. But the reality is that's what goes on. The people who have experienced it are afraid to touch it. The other attorneys who say, yeah, they made up facts with me, but they won't even file a complaint against the bar. Like I did, I bet I'm the only attorney who's ever done that.
Well, what are you going to do? What needs to happen here? I mean, I feel like my hands are tied. Whether it's prison reform, whether it's this, and I don't know what they'll try to do to you. Fine you, shut down your license, and then make sure you can't make a living. Is that the goal?
Well, if they can, one of the things they want to do is involve other state bars in what is essentially a witch hunt here, and. In some cases, practicing law without a license is a crime. So it's hypothetically possible that they not only pursue this to shut me down, but they hang me out to dry in the biggest way possible. They find a state bar somewhere else which is willing to make up facts like they are, or they make up facts themselves. And I've talked to other attorneys where I talked to an attorney once who did make a mistake, but it was not a huge one. And they changed the facts so that the mistake was bigger, so that it was a crime. There was a certain level of money issue where beyond a certain dollar level, it becomes a criminal act. And so this guy did do something wrong, but it was a small thing wrong. He should have been slapped on the wrist and sent home. It was an isolated event. But they changed the facts to make it at a criminal level. Then when they had that over his head, they got him to sign something agreeing that he did something.
And that's why I say they're trying to make this thing criminal, and what they're really doing is trying to toss you in the clink, aren't they?
Well, and make an example. But, Sam, there is something that people can do. The solution here is to put a spotlight on the corruption. I mean, I think that's the solution to corruption everywhere. But here, there's a combination of things that all taken together will make that happen. So one of the first things people can do, and I encourage anyone to please do this who hears this, is to sign petitions. There's information at vaccinerights.com, the upper right-hand corner, a link, vaccinerights.com. And there are some other things going on in the works, Sam, where people can pitch in and help out without spending a dime to help put a spotlight on the corruption. So I'll just have to say, stay tuned for things coming up.
And we, of course, will break the news and stick with Alan all the way on this thing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it's a classic witch hunt. It's got to stop. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. There is no liberty when you can't find justice with an attorney that will defend you because they're afraid of the bar. There is no liberty when there's not the due process of law and the transparency of light shed on all these cases, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
We'll talk soon. There he goes, doing a phenomenal job as always. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.